so powerful. Amen. Come on, let's continue that praise to God right now. God, you are good. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that throughout the Bible, we can trust you. We see you at work. And Father God, we just thank you for being our foundation, for being that immovable one that we can trust, that we can call out to in time of need. God, we just praise your name right now, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I almost just want to pray and go home right now because I'm not sure how I'm supposed to follow that up. I did wrestle with that for a minute this week as I was looking at the video, and I was like, you know, I'm gonna have to get up after this. I'm gonna have to say something. But I wanted to show that video because he goes through every book of the Bible and he talks about how God is involved in every single book. And like I said during announcements, we have been reading through the Bible in a year. This is this is week 52 of our Bible reading. And so what I wanted to do today is we're going to kind of go back to the beginning and we're going to trace one of the major themes of the Bible, because I think it's really important for us to grasp this and for us to understand God's purpose and what God wants for us starting now and moving into 2025. So like I said, we're going to zoom out and we're going to look at the overall story of the Bible. And just like, you know, trying to compete with an 11-year-old, some of you guys in here might relate to the idea of feeling unqualified or ill-equipped to be able to accomplish what has been asked of you. Maybe it's, your car breaks down and you don't have enough money for a mechanic and you're like, well, I could probably do it. It takes twice as long and costs three times as much, but you eventually get it done. Or any other home improvement project, your sink clogs and you're under there unscrewing things and just hoping that you can figure out how to put it all back together in the end. It's easy to find ourselves over our head. It's easy to find ourselves feeling unqualified. It's easy to find ourselves with a gap, with a lack of knowledge between what we need to do and what we actually have the ability to do. Our question today is going to be, what is God asking you to do? And why did he call you to be a part of his family? What is God asking you to do? And why did he call you to be a part of his family? We talk a lot about being part of the family of God, and we talk a lot about how God has a plan for your life. But what does it mean, really? What does it mean practically? What is God wanting from us? And is God even really interested in little old me? After all, we're all dealing with our own messes, aren't we? We'd love to be part of something bigger. We'd love to have more free time. We'd love to be able to do all of the things that God is calling us to do. But also, you have to remember to get milk. You got to remember to schedule your kids' doctor's appointments. You've got to remember to change the oil in your car. You've got to figure out how to pay off your Christmas debt. You've got all of these other things that you're wrestling with and struggling with. There's family tensions. There's trouble at work. There's all of these things that you need to figure out. And do you even have the time to add something else, especially something as big as what the King of the universe wants for you? Our big picture today is we want to answer this question. We talk about how God's plan is perfect and it's best for our lives, but what does it mean? And our big picture then is God works through imperfect people to accomplish his perfect will. As we've walked through the Bible this last year, we've seen it over and over and over again, how God has used people that were ill-equipped, that were overwhelmed, that were burdened by the cares of life, that had too much to do and too little time. God used those people to do great things in the Bible, and God wants to use you as well. The Bible's big story is that God wants to work through humanity. He could do it himself, but this is the path that he has chosen. In fact, there was a, if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 1. while you guys are turning there, there was a preacher that was walking along a country road and happened upon a farm. And as he was walking past the farm, he saw the farmer out there. So he stopped in and he started talking to the farmer. And he's talking to him. And he's like, man, your farm is incredible. Every row is perfectly straight. It looks like all of your corn is higher than it should be right now. Everything is great. And man, God has blessed you so much to be able to take care and to have this great farmland. And the farmer is just sitting there, and he's you know, agreeing with him. He's like, man, yeah, God has blessed me. The soil is amazing that he picked out for me, and this plot of land is perfect for exactly what we need. He said to the preacher, he said, you know, in fact, every morning I get on my knees and I thank God as I come out here and I'm weeding the farm and as I'm getting it ready. And he said, if you think it looks great right now, he said, well, you should have seen it when God had it all to himself, because it wasn't quite as nice as it is now. But the truth is that God worked with him. God used the farmer in order to prepare the land, in order to do what God wanted done. And the farmer recognized, the preacher recognized, and I hope we all recognize as well, that God wants to work through us in different areas of life, for something as simple as farming to other things as well. God has a plan for you. Hopefully you guys are in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 26. And this is God talking to humanity. This is God talking, and he says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And I want to call your guys' attention there to that word rule. So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. You see, from the very beginning, God created mankind first in his image. We see this, that God created man to do what he does, to follow after him. In fact, the idea is that when creation looks at a human being, they should see God, that we are the image of God. We are God's representative wherever we go. But in addition to that, God created them with an image, but he also created us with a purpose. He said, it's not enough that you just look like God, but I also want you to act like God. I also want you to do the things that God wants you to do. And so he says, rule. He says, subdue. He says, I want you to take care and tend for the garden that I've placed you in, because that is the purpose of man. He designed us and he created us so that we would accomplish his purposes here on earth. But as we know in Genesis chapter 3, sin disrupts the partnership that we have with God. But even though sin disrupted that partnership, God's plan remained. His plan is perfect, even though it isn't always easy. So our first point then was God's plan in the beginning. There's going to be, I believe, 6 of these, so you might want to write them down. God's plan in the beginning, then we're going to look at God's plan persists. And we see this as sin is increasing in the world. It gets to the point where God says, I need to do something about this sin problem. He sends a flood, but in the midst of the flood, or before the flood happens, he raises up somebody who is righteous. He raises up a representative. He raises up somebody to rescue humanity and to save them. Now, God could have created the ark, and God could have placed the animals in it. God could have done all of it, but he chose to work through a person. He chose Noah to be his representative, to do what God needed in that moment, so that they could be free, so that there could be an escape from the floodwaters that were coming. Noah trusted God's plan even when it seemed crazy. So I love this, that God places all of his hopes for humanity in a person, and Noah, on the other hand, is looking up like, what do you want me to do? What even is rain? I don't understand this. There's a Jewish teaching that says that Noah, before he built the ark, planted the trees for the ark. I don't know if that's true or not. That's Jewish tradition. But it does speak to this idea that it took a long time for Noah to see this plan accomplished. That there were years and years where he is cutting trees. He's milling them. He's getting them ready to place on the ark. He's covering it with pitch. He's getting everything designed exactly to the specifications that God had for him. God worked through him in order to rescue humanity. And God wants to use you in a similar way. In Moses, we see in Exodus 3 how God called Moses to deliver his people. So we fast forwarded now. The Israel has become a small nation. There are 1 million, 2 million Israelites. They're down in Egypt because they were escaping from famine. So they moved down to Egypt. And when they moved down to Egypt, things went well for the first 350 to 400 years. They were able to increase in numbers. They started, started all sorts of, taking over greater and greater areas, to the point where Pharaoh looked at them one day and he's like, you know what? If we get attacked, these Israelites are going to join with the enemy and we won't be able to defeat them because there's so many of them and they're so strong. So he puts them into slavery. He starts a campaign of forced labor. He's got them building all sorts of different things. And God hears the cry of his people. God's people cry out to him. And when God's people cry out, God sends a deliverer in the person of Moses. And we see in Moses, even when he's standing in front of that burning bush, how he argues with God and he wrestles with God because he's like, I'm not qualified to do this. I don't know how to rescue a people. I'm not even a good speaker. Why are you asking me to do it? You should call somebody else. And Moses feels unqualified, but God says, no, I've chosen you. I want you to carry out my plan. And God's presence and God's power made the impossible possible. As Moses goes back, he confronts Pharaoh. There's this whole series of plagues as God is systematically confronting each of the different gods of Egypt. Eventually, the Passover happens. The firstborn of all of the nation of Egypt dies. God rescues his people. They end up trapped between the Egyptian army on one side and the Red Sea on the other side. But if you've ever watched the Charlton Heston film, right, where he raises his hands up and the waters part and Israel is able to walk across on dry ground. God rescues his people, but even in that action, he used a person to hold up the stick. And God wants to use you in the same way. What we see here is that God is bigger than our limitations. Whether you're Noah, whether you're Moses, or whether you are you, God's plan is bigger than whatever limitations you might have. Number three, God's plan then was fulfilled in Jesus. God's plan was fulfilled in Jesus. We read this last week, but I want to read it again. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. You see, sin created a gap between us and God, but Jesus' life, death, and resurrection was the bridge that restored our partnership again. Throughout the Old Testament, we saw, as we were doing our Bible reading, we saw all of these stories of people trying and failing to become to come into God's presence, to do what God was asking them to do. We saw it over and over and over again, how people tried and failed. But finally Jesus came. He was able to live the sinless life that none of us could. He died in our place. And he rose again, sealing the promise that God has a new future and a new plan for all of us. But really, God's plan isn't new. It's the same plan that he had from the beginning. God wants to partner with you to reach your world. Through Christ, we were redeemed, we were forgiven, and the truth is, we were redeemed for a reason. We were rescued for a purpose. God had a plan for us, and he wants to enact it in you. Trusting God's plan then leads to both redemption, but also to eternal purpose. Number four, we're going to look at God's plan for the church. So now that Jesus has come, now we see throughout the rest of the New Testament from Acts and moving onward, how the people the Christians, the new believers of the time, started to wrestle with, what does it mean to learn to love like Jesus? What does it mean to follow in his footsteps? What does it mean to do what God is calling us to do? What does it mean to partner with him in their time? And it's the same question we're wrestling with. What does it mean to partner with God in our time? We see that in Acts 2, the birth of the church, where Peter is preaching and 3,000 people get saved. And we see the Holy Spirit fall and the Holy Spirit empower the disciples to be able to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. But these were all ordinary people. These weren't superhuman. These weren't people that had college degrees. These weren't people that were the best and the brightest in their fields. These were ordinary people. These were fishermen. These were people that hadn't even completed, a lot of them hadn't even completed their schooling. And yet God chose to use them. And again, I say, God wants to use you. Amen? Amen. Come on. Acts 1:8 says it like this. It says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And the same promise to those disciples is true for us today. He says, "You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses." Because again, God created us to be his image bearers back in the garden. Remember that? God said, "Let us make man in our image." And everywhere we go, we should be carrying the image of God with us. Everywhere we go, we should be proclaiming his truth, not only in words, but especially in deeds, in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we love people, in the way that we show kindness and generosity to those that are in need. All of these things are God's way of working out his plan in us. And I want to challenge us this next year to look at, how can I be a part of God's plan? The disciples, led by the Spirit, spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. Point number 5, everyone has a role to play in God's plan. Because Paul, as he's writing out all of these letters, and he's sending letters to different churches, and he's trying to explain to people that he can't interact with. He's got to send a letter, and it takes months to get there, and then takes months to get a response from them. He's trying to explain to them, this is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to be a believer. And in one of his letters to the church in Corinth, he says, "What I want you guys to understand is that you are all part of the body of Christ. You are all part of God's plan. In fact, you are one unit moving forward to see God's plan accomplished." Now, some of you guys are thumbs, and some of you guys are pinky toes, and some of you guys are ears, and some of you guys are kneecaps. And, you know, some of you guys have all of these different abilities, but all of them work together to accomplish God's plan. Everybody has a role to play in God's plan. 1 Corinthians 12 says it like this. It says, "In fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. A body works, functions best when all of its parts work together. If my leg was suddenly to start taking off and running over here without me, I wouldn't be able to do the thing that I'm supposed to be doing right now. Likewise, if I started punching myself in the face, you guys might all get a good laugh, but the message might be compromised just a little bit. I guess let's try it out and see what. Oh no, I'm not going to do that. In the same way, joints, ligaments, muscles, cardiovascular system, digestive systems, neurons, synapses firing, all of these different things are possible, or all of these different things lead to the body being able to do what it's called to do. But if any of us take a step back, if any of us sit back, then the body isn't able to function in the same way it's supposed to. Just like when you wake up in the morning and your arm is asleep and you're like, "I can't even grab my cell phone because my arm's just hanging out there." You're like, "Now my body can't function right because I can't do the thing. This hand isn't doing what I need it to do." And we've all experienced that from time to time. In the same way, the body of Christ is hindered when we don't all play our part. As a body, we need to be headed in the same direction. That our mission here at Generations Church is to see souls saved and lives transformed. This is the reason that we do what we do. This is the purpose that we're oriented around. What that means for you guys is that we need you guys going out telling people about the good news and inviting them to come. And when they come here, we need you greeting at the doors. We need you on the worship team. We need you down in kids ministry, setting an environment, creating an environment where kids can learn about Jesus. We need you filling all of these roles, because God didn't call Pastor Tiffany to do it all, even though sometimes it feels like she did, or even though it feels like she does. God didn't call just one person to carry the entire load. God called all of us to be a body, to work together, to see his plan and his purpose accomplished. So our takeaway then for today is we want to discover your role in God's plan. We want to embrace it. And I want you guys to know that you are indispensable to the mission of God. All the way back in Genesis and all the way through to the end. In fact, now we're going to turn over to Revelation chapter 21. All the way back in Genesis and all the way through to the end of the Bible, we see God working out his plan in each and every one of us. We see God using individuals throughout time to carry his message, to shine his light, to teach people what God wants for them, and to show people what it means to be a child of God. We are made in God's image to carry his light, to shine his light to people in darkness who desperately need it. Amen? Amen. Revelation 21. Then I saw... let me turn over there. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now this is at the fulfillment of all things. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And so we see this vision then of the new Jerusalem, of God dwelling with his people. But even in this, I believe that God has a plan for us. God didn't call us just to eventually be angels on clouds, little cherub babies playing our harp and worshiping him for all of eternity. Even in this, I know that God has a plan for us. There's a whole city to manage. There's a garden to tend to, and God wants us to be a part of that plan. The beautiful thing is that, like it says, there's no sin, there's no pain, there's no death, there's no more tears, there's no more crying, there's no more sorrow. There's a perfect restoration of all things. And God's plan then ends with eternal joy and victory. So as we walk this out, as we carry his light, as we shine his light, as we do what God is calling us to do, as we are part of his plan, we see that in the end, even if it's hard in the middle, we see in the end, there is joy, there is victory, there is peace. God wants to do something in us and through us. Amen? Come on. So to sum it all up then, from the beginning, God created humanity to reflect his character and to carry out his will. Despite sin's disruption, God's plan persisted through faithful people like Noah and Moses. And in Jesus, we find redemption and restoration empowered by the Holy Spirit. As a church, we're called to continue his mission with every individual playing a crucial role in the body of Christ. And God's plan culminates in ultimate victory where he will dwell with his people forever. If I could have the worship team go ahead and join me on stage. Three more things that I want to communicate, and then we're going to wrap up with a time of praise and worship. We're going to just lay ourselves down. We're going to ask God, what do you want for me? What do you want from me? And we're going to just spend some time with our Father today as a great way to wrap up 2024 and to launch into 2025. So three things. The first thing as it relates to what does this mean for us today? The first thing that I want you guys to think about is to step in to your purpose. Just like Adam and Eve, just like Noah, just like Moses, just like David, just like Solomon, just like Peter, just like Paul, God has called you with a purpose. What has God asked you to do? Ephesians 2:10 says it like this. It says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is what God wants for us. As we learn to do good, as we learn to shine God's light, as we learn to love like Jesus, when we learn to do these things, then we see how we are a part of God's plan. God created you, He crafted you, He made you to carry His image, to be a part of His good plan that He has for you. God uniquely designed you and prepared you to fulfill His plan. So number one, we want to step into your purpose. Number two, we want to trust His power, because it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be a straight line from point A to point B. In fact, sometimes we start to follow the voice of God and we find that God calls us over here, and then all of a sudden He's calling us over here, and then all of a sudden He's calling us this way, and we're confused and we don't understand what's going on. But we see throughout the process that as we trust Him, a lot of you guys have experienced detours in your life. A lot of you guys have experienced times where life didn't take you in the direction you thought it was going. But as you got a little further way down that road, you were able to look back and see, this is exactly what God wanted for me. This is exactly the plan that God had for me. I didn't understand it at the time. In fact, it felt like a setback at the time. But what I see is it was actually a detour to get me to where God wanted me to be. And for some of you guys in here, those are things like physical ailments that have come upon you. Maybe it's relational tensions. Maybe it's a job that moves you to an area that you're unfamiliar with. You left your family to come to a job, and now you're like, I don't know what to do, where to go, how to be. We want to trust God in the process, because God has a plan for you. He's working all things together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. So we're stepping to our purpose. We're going to trust in His power. Number three, we're going to keep our eyes on the end goal, because God's plan leads to ultimate victory, and God's plan is always for your good. Father God, we just thank You for Your plan and Your purpose that You have for us. God, we thank You that You are making a way for us to know You and to shine Your light so that others might know You as well. God, I pray that, Lord, You would speak to us. God, that You would give us a new hope, a new purpose, a new plan. God, we trust You. We believe You. We hope after You, Lord, in Jesus' name. So if you felt unqualified, unprepared, unsure of God's purpose for your life, I believe that God wants to speak something to you today. Maybe for some of you in here, you're confused. You don't even know how to start a relationship with God. If that's you, I would encourage you, come talk to me afterwards. Would love to give you some resources and pray with you, because I believe that God has a plan and a purpose for everybody here. But I know that there are some of you in here today that you're just feeling either unqualified, or for a lot of us, honestly, the American problem is not that we feel unqualified, but it's that we're too busy to do the things that God is asking us to do. The first thing I would say to you is that God wants to go with you in all of the things that you're busy doing. And in fact, I think that if you spend some time focused on Him as you're making breakfast for your kids, or you spend some time focused on Him as you're navigating the grocery store, you spend some time as you're driving to work focused on Him, you're going to find that all of those things go smoother. You're going to find that God opens some doors for you that you never experienced before. You're going to find a peace and a rest even in the busy seasons of life. But if you've been feeling unsure or feeling disconnected from Him, I want you to know that God has a plan and a purpose for you. This is true whether you're 5 years old, whether you're 95 years old, anywhere in between. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. So what I want us to do today is I want us to make a commitment to say, I'm going to embrace God's plan for me. In a couple days, most of us in here will be trying to stay up to midnight. Some of us in here will succeed, some of us won't. For those of us that take, I know a lot of us in here, we take December 31st as a time to reflect on 2024, and then to say, how do I want my life to be different? How do I want to improve my life going into 2025? This is God's challenge for you today. Where can you serve? Who can you talk to? What does God want you to do? Who can you show God's love to in life? Because God wants you to live with purpose, to walk according to his plan. You are his image bearer, and he has a plan for your life. So as we sing this song together, I want you just to spend a moment in prayer and just to ask God, God, what do you want me to do? God, how should my life be different going into 2025 so that I can follow your plan more fully and more completely?